For some time now, there's been turmoil inside the world's biggest soccer club.
As Barcelona drops 2 points.
There's no chemistry in this team. I mean, there really isn't.
News of more turmoil. In just the last 24 hours, 6 board members have resigned.
And caught up in the middle of it all is the team's superstar, Lionel Messi.
Messi is not happy. He's not happy with the way that things are being handled. He's not happy with the way that the club is run. And so he now is coming out and saying so.
Today, The Athletic's Dermot Corrigan joins us to talk about what's going wrong at Barca, what Messi has had to say about it, and why the shy superstar can sometimes make things difficult.
The problem is that if you go to Messi and say, what do you want? Messi himself is not really able to articulate exactly what he wants.
From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Kavitha Davidson.
And I'm Andres Kelto. It's Friday, July 10th, and this is The Lead.
It felt like something great was happening.
There was just something about the emotion and that moment.
You gotta go faster, faster!
The failures of the past don't matter because we've got this guy.
Are you kidding? I've never seen anything like that.
That's not good news.
This isn't a story where you interview the athlete and go home. It stays with you.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Lead ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
So Dermot, I want to start this story back in 2015. Could you just remind us what that season was like for Barcelona and for Lionel Messi?
2014-15 was a real roller coaster season for Barcelona because they had some rocky moments. They were still getting settled in, the triad that they had up front of Luis Suarez, Neymar and Messi. But it all just clicked together through the springtime. They won the La Liga title, the Copa del Rey.
It's a brilliant run from Messi. Can he go all the way?
I don't think we've ever seen or ever will see anything like Lionel Messi again.
And the Champions League by beating Juventus in the final. Self-image maybe, or amongst their fans anyway, of that it was important to win with style or to win with class. And that was the image that they had around the world.
And how has Barcelona been doing since then?
Over the last 5 or 6 years, a lot of that team have grown older and moved on. People like Dani Alves, Xavi and Iniesta. And the club have been unable to replace them really with similar quality players. They've spent $800 million on new signings over that time. 30 new players have come in without anybody really establishing themselves as a star. Even this last summer, the big signing was Antoine Griezmann, and he hasn't clicked yet with Messi or with Suarez up front.
Antoine Griezmann, we talked about the fact that you could pretty much give him a 6 for every single match that he plays for Barcelona. Just doesn't do enough, doesn't do hardly anything.
Also off the pitch, the club's reputation has taken a bit of a battering. We talked about Neymar before. The investigation into that deal led to President Sandro Rosell stepping down. There's been a lot of changes behind the scenes, a revolving door of directors and executives who've been making decisions about the new signings. Their club sponsor was from Qatar, the government of Qatar, and that brought some criticism as well. So the idea of Barca as this, you know, as the good guys compared to everybody else, took a bit of a beating off the pitch. While on the pitch, you know, they haven't won the Champions League since 2015. They've done well in La Liga. They've won 3 of the last 5 La Liga titles. So they've done pretty well domestically, but they're not quite at the peak that they were before.
And is it safe to say that over the past few years that Messi has more or less carried this team?
I think that is fair to say. Like, over time, he's had to fill more and more of the roles in the team, especially to drop into midfield and to knit the play together, to be a playmaker, a passer, as well as a finisher. And even, you know, sometimes you see him now, he'd be back and he'd go back into his own half to try to get the team to move forward up the pitch, which obviously means that he's not able to score as many goals as before.
You know, it seems like no matter what's happening with Barcelona, the conversation always shifts to Messi and this question of who is really pulling the strings of the club. And Dermot, you recently wrote about an incident that happened on the Barcelona team bus a number of years ago that I think says a lot about Messi.
This is going back to 2009, when Pep Guardiola was the Barca coach and Messi was a lot younger. And Barca had just signed Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who is that type of bombastic superstar, a forward, a guy who loves the attention. And Zlatan had come in and had done pretty well in his first couple of games at the club, had been scoring goals and getting a lot of plaudits. And his positioning in the team had meant that Messi had to move out to a still starting the games and was still scoring goals himself, but he was no longer the focal point of the team's attack. So he, from back on the bus, sent a message to Pep Guardiola, who was sitting at the front of the bus, to say, oh, I see I'm no longer so important for the team anymore, ... as if to say that, well, if you don't want me, then you know, I'm out of here, or that's fine, I don't care, kind of thing. But what happened was that Guardiola rectified what had happened to that, and only lasted a year at the club.
Ibrahimovic has joined Milan on loan from Barcelona just over a year after leaving Milan's city rivals Inter.
I think the people will, the supporters will enjoy a lot this year.
And Messi moved into a more central role in the attack from then on. And that position has kind of continued through the years, that everybody at the club knows that Messi is he's obviously the best player in the team, probably the best player in the world, and it's really important to keep him comfortable, to make him happy. So a lot of people at the club spend a lot of time trying to predict what will make Messi happy and who are the best coaches to sign or the best players, the best teammates to have around Messi in order to get the best out of him. The problem is that if you go to Messi and say, what do you want me to do, then, well, that's not a good way of running a club anyway. And even Messi himself is not really able to articulate exactly what he wants to do. Neither does he want to be the guy who's choosing the coaches or choosing the tactics or deciding transfers. No, he'll focus on being a good player, but it's not quite that simple.
Recently, Messi has been doing something that's pretty unusual for him. He's been publicly voicing some frustrations with the club. What's he been saying?
After Valverde was sacked in January, the club's sporting director, Eric Abidal, who's a former Barca player and a former teammate of Messi, did an interview with one of the local sports papers in which he said quite bluntly that the reason that they had decided to sack the coach was that the senior players in the dressing room were no longer giving 100% effort for the coach or had lost faith in the coach. Messi took that very personally to mean that he was not supporting his coach, that he was not giving everything for Valverde, who, you know, they won 2 leagues together, and Messi took it as a slight on his professionalism and on his leadership of the club as club captain. So he went to Instagram and immediately that day wrote up the Instagram message himself.
And one of the things that Messi is saying here on this Instagram post is that you need to specify which players you're talking about, otherwise all of the players get tainted by what you say. So
he will take responsibility for when he plays well on the pitch. He'll take the praise. When he doesn't play so well, he'll take responsibility for that. But what he won't take responsibility for is the president of the club or the sporting director of the club firing the coach, and they start to blame the players or use the players or use Messi as a shield to deflect criticism from them. That made him really angry.
Yesterday, he was on Instagram, not this time to criticise the club, but certain segments of the media are suggesting he's going back to Newell's. We're seeing a more outspoken Messi than we have ever, I think, said.
What blame, if any, does Messi deserve for Barcelona's recent struggles?
Yeah, I think you have to be fair, and it is difficult to be the Barcelona coach and to have Lionel Messi in your team. Messi does have players who he feels more comfortable playing around, who maybe suit his game, but maybe they're not the very best players that Barcelona have to win each game. And it's difficult to be the Barcelona president and to have this superstar who you know could remove you from the job if he decided to. So Messi's stature that he has, his personality, everything about him makes it more difficult for Barcelona to win. When new players arrive at the club, he's the club captain, but he's not the guy who's going to be, you know, super welcoming, making sure they and their families are good and inviting them out for dinner and, you know, helping them settle in as much as possible. He's not the type of personality to bring everybody together in that kind of way. You know, when things go wrong on the pitch, he can give looks to younger teammates, for instance, you know, which are really disparaging, which must be difficult for them to take. And a lot of players have struggled to settle into the Barcelona team. Maybe some of those signings over the years might have been more useful to Barcelona if Messi had been more welcoming to them, if you know what I mean. So Messi himself, the type of guy that he is, has contributed to the problems at the club for sure.
And lastly, Dermot, you know, there's been a lot of speculation about what will happen next with Messi. And the big question, of course, whether or not he'll leave Barcelona. How do you think things are going to unfold?
I think it's very difficult to see him playing for another club, especially in Europe. He's had opportunities for sure over the past to join, whether it was Manchester City or Bayern Munich, Paris Saint-Germain, even to Real Madrid. But Messi always stayed at Barca first because he was surrounded by just the best players. You know, he had Xavi and Iniesta, he had Suarez and Neymar, he had these guys around him who he felt comfortable with and he felt gave him the best chance to win the biggest trophies. More recently, as those teammates have slipped away, it's more a case that he's just very comfortable in Barcelona. He has his family. He has a very nice life. He lives in a very nice area of Barcelona. It's a good place to live. The one thing that he is always talked about that he might go back to Argentina. He's more than 20 years away from his home city of Rosario in Argentina, but he's still very connected to it. He lives in a little kind of South American bubble to an extent. It's just a feeling that it would be more difficult for him to return home. It would be beautiful in a way, be a nice story, but it would be very difficult in a practical way.
Well, Dermot, thanks so much for joining us and enjoy watching all this drama unfold.
Yeah, cool. Really enjoyed it, Anders. It was lovely to talk to you.
You can follow Dermot Corrigan's coverage of Barcelona and La Liga at theathletic.com. Thanks for listening this week. Our senior producer is Matt Straub. Production assistance and fact-checking by Ian Hurley. Sound design and mixing by Wydong Lin, Aaron May, and Joe Richardson. Our theme song was composed by Lindsey Graham. Our editorial director is Kavitha Davidson. Our executive producer is me, Anders Kelto. The show is executive produced by Marshall Louis and Hernan Lopez for Wondery. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Anders Kelto. See you next week.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/business. If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/business.